Pastor Barry likes missions. They both do, actually, both Barry and Michelle. And we're believing for 100,000. Let's have a look at the graph. Let's see where we're at right now as one church, two locations. Well, it looks like we are, total promises, 90, what, close to 91,000. I reckon we could do that. We got a few weeks to go. Well, we finished the program, but we've got, I know there's a few people that have been away, so isn't that exciting? You know, I've got some even, who's Filipino here? Give me a wave. All the Filipinos, give me a wave. Awesome. Guess what I'm going to try and do? I'm going to try and get Pastor Ronell and Mary Lou from C3 Pasig. I can't say that properly, I know. Just listen to those two girls. They always correct me. Pasig, okay, something like that, okay. So I'm going to get them to come for the next leap into spring. I hope they say yes. That'll be cool. And at both locations, not just Frio. So that's awesome. So looking forward to that. And Lord, I just want to say, you know, thanks for your generous giving. And if you haven't put in a card, perhaps you'd like to. For the we do it every 12 months, and a 12-month promise card. There's a card on your seat. Feel free to fill those in and take use of that and see what God can do for those. Who knows, there's always people that are more needy than us. So it's good to be a blessing. And we live in a great, blessed country in Australia. And so it's good. All right. Well, turn in your Bibles. Time to preach. I expect we'll finish early. Does Barry let you finish early? Not often. Oh, no comment. Okay, so, well, I think we will. And so, anyway, well, we got another meeting afterwards, so maybe not so too early. Otherwise, we'll have to wait around too long. But, okay, so, Luke 22, come with me. Verse 31. I want to talk to you today about the title of my message being, I Pray Your Faith Remains. I pray your faith remains. And you'll see where this is going in a moment when we read this passage of Scripture. A little bit of a different passage, really, but I guess it'll appeal to the men here. Who's a real man here? Only me. Who's a real man here? Give me a... All right, okay, so, okay, here we go. Where's Steve? He looks like a real man. He's out there on security. Okay, a real man. All right, Luke 22:31. We're all real men, I'm only joking with you. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Men like to brag. Some women do too, but, you know, I guess this is Peter, and he was like, he did like to brag. And Peter was a fisherman. Who knows that fishermen definitely like to brag? Who goes fishing here? Who enjoys fishing? My fish was always bigger than your fish. Or my catch was bigger. And if you get into the commercial fishing, well, it's a full-on war. So Peter was a fisherman. And fishermen have to be one up on the other person. And even if it's all in jest. And so... you know, your car's better than my car's better than yours because I've got 351 and yours is only a 250 or whatever. Okay, so I remember one time a long time ago. Well, I think it was a long time ago. Who knows that men never really grow up? They're always boys. Anyhow, at a men's event up at C3 Hepburn Heights. And they had a kind of a strongman competition. And the boys were egging me on to go in it. And I'm the pastor of C3 Fremantle. This is before the days of Wellard. And all the boys are going, Nodge, you should definitely go in it. And so I looked around to survey what my opposition was going to be. And I thought, I've got this. Too easy. First mistake. Anyhow, part of the strongman competition, which I just didn't think was right at all, the first thing they asked us to do was to actually do a handstand. Well, I think that pulling things or lifting things is more of a strongman competition. Don't you agree, Steve? And so for me, I'm like, I'm in trouble. So I got up on my hands and immediately fell over and destroyed everyone around me. Everyone fell over in a heap, and I think I damaged a few people on the way down. And, you know, then there was this medicine boat ball throw, and they had it set up across one end of the stage to the other, and it was quite a heavy medicine ball, but you were meant to push it off your chest. So I thought, well, I've definitely got this one. I'll win this for sure. And so I pushed off my chest and went right to the other side pretty much. And then there was this young kid, and he kind of threw it. He didn't do what they'd asked. He didn't push it off his chest, and they gave it to him as going the furthest. I felt like saying, well, hey, he didn't do it right, but I was the pastor, so this is all going in my head. My pride was dented. I don't go into competitions anymore. And now I actually think to myself, what was I thinking? Who knows, sometime or other, most of us grow up. But seriously, before Jesus said to Peter, you will deny me three times. And Peter and a number of the disciples are arguing about who will be the greatest. We like to believe that we're good at stuff, right? We like to believe that we're doing something worthwhile. And that's great. And it's highly likely that Peter, being the spokesman for the group, had been bragging the most about his exploits. You know, Jesus sent you guys out, but did you see what I did? When I went out, I didn't just heal a guy. There was a legion of demons in this man, and they just went. They were just gone. And he's bragging. He's telling about all this stuff. And then there's this from Jesus. Satan has demanded that he sift you as wheat. What does that mean? Satan has demanded that he sift you as wheat. And it would be my observation that Jesus has allowed Satan to sift Peter as wheat. The text says, sift you. You is referring to all the disciples, and therefore it is referring to you and I as well. And there are times in our life where God wants to sift us, and sometimes he may even use the enemy to do that. When they used to, the chaff from the wheat, it's a messy process getting the chaff away from the wheat. And Satan's hope, of course, in this whole process, there is so much more chaff than there is wheat, so that we'd lose our flow in who we are in God. And so Jesus tells a parable about tares and wheat. You can find it in Matthew 13 for those of you who may be taking notes. And an enemy comes and sows tare in the field with the wheat. Tares are a kind of weed that resemble wheat, and until both reach maturity, one will be useful and one will be destructive. And Jesus does not, however, say to pull out the tares. This is interesting. But to leave them both until the harvest. And I think that as men and women here today, we can want to look good, but when it comes time for the harvest, we may be lacking. How do we go through the narrow gate? I talked about this at Connect Group the other night, and one of my Connect Group ladies goes, I'm going to lose weight. I laugh my head off. How do we progress with Jesus? Seriously. And Jesus says to Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I pray for you that your faith shall not fail." And so, this is really interesting because it's saying, I just know in my heart that there is something here that is an incredible life of God. There is a presence here. But if you look only at what you see, you're going to miss what God is doing. And this is almost a prophetic word with Barry being away at the moment, but I really see it, Crystal. I really see it, music team. I really see it, everyone who leads here. Everyone who serves. In fact, that's just about everyone at Wellard. So let me just say, as I was just been contemplating the last few weeks when Barry said, "Will you come down because I'm away?" Don't underestimate what God is doing that you can't see. And there is a moving. And there will also be a faith walk or move in you that will create a foundation that will create momentum and growth in His house. But don't wait for that. Just enjoy what you have too. Is that good? So Lord, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. "But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail." So God will allow Satan to have a shot at us at times. And Jesus is going to allow this to happen. Because He's going to resurrect what is broken. What is not quite right. What is offensive to Him. So that you and I don't just look or act like we have it together. But so that we are more together in Him. And the truth is, Jesus could have stopped Peter from messing up. Just like He can stop you and I from blowing it at times. But we don't grow and mature in Him if He does everything for us. He is not one of the gods. I'm not sure why I use this illustration, but every now and then on Netflix there's these movies about the gods. And they do something quite remarkable. But He's not a God. He's the God that we have a relationship with, and that makes all the difference. He's not a, "I'll just fix that." He's a guy that wants to relate with us and get us through life constantly, and that is a faith walk. Huge difference. And we have a tendency to think that when we do mess up, if you're anything like me, it's the end of the world. How am I going to recover from that? Have you ever said something stupid to someone you love and then gone, "Oh dear"? No, only me. Am I the only one? And you mess up, right? We mess up. But it's not the end of the world. I want to tell you today, I pray your faith will not. It is God making sure we don't go down that path again. Who knows, when you mess up like that, it's very hard to go down that track again. If we really do love Him. And sometimes He allows the enemy to help His cause in your life. I have prayed for you. Not that the sifting would not happen to Peter, but so that he wouldn't just look good, but be less chaff and more wheat. In early Christian paintings, a grain of wheat was symbolic of the resurrection. And the chaff was gone, and only the goodness is left. And there is a cycle of life that God intends for every person, that we hold on to the good, the truth, the life of God, allow our faith to grow through the mess in our lives, and it is who we are becoming. Who knows you're going to have mess? Who knows life's messy? Who knows that you can have a really ordered think that everything's going to be planned so well, and then there's just this mess that is right in the middle of it. You didn't expect it, but it's there. That's life. But it's who we are becoming and how we are looking at that mess and how we are dealing with and how our attitudes are. And a field of wheat signifies the church. Wholesome crop through what God has done in our lives. Is anyone grateful for what God's done in their life today? A wholesome crop, a field of wheat, every person. And Jesus is saying to Peter, I have prayed for you. Not that sifting would not happen. Rather, Jesus prayed for his mentality, that his faith would not fail him. And if you are anything like me, you will mess up. And Peter is overconfident. Not me, Lord. I'll die with you. Not me, Lord. I'm there with you. Jesus says, three times you will fail me, Peter. I am not praying, interestingly, that you will not fail. I'm not praying it won't be messy. I'm not praying it won't be difficult for you. I am praying your faith will not. Can you have faith in the middle of a bad situation? Amen. You know, if we can't have faith in the middle of a bad situation, what's the point of being here? The church should be a place where we can come and know that there's going to be some power that's going to get us through. And that's the beauty of connecting in this way. And so, I have prayed your faith will not fail. You know, when Andrew and I moved to Frio 24 years ago, there was one bad situation after another for a long period of time. Our 10-month-old son, who is now 25 and getting married, can't believe it, he was in hospital for a week after eating rat poison off the floor. He was a toddler. He was 8 months old. He's crawling along the floor. We used to live in a rental property when we first moved to Frio in Hilton. And he ate the paint that was flaking off the floor. We didn't know, as toddlers do. They put everything in their mouth. He ends up in hospital for a week. My wife's having to deal with that. I'm trying to go to work to do my own business so that we can put food on the table. And the doctor says he's going to have asthma and his throat's never going to be the same. What does Jared do today? He sings. You know what? You know that? Oh my goodness! Are you hearing my heart this morning? Because the doctor said, I don't think he's going to be out. I think there might be a long-term problem. I said, he's going to be fine. And sometimes we have to actually stand in the middle and say, no, I'm not accepting that. Now, we didn't know back then that he was going to be, he's 8 months old. We had no idea he was going to be a singer. In fact, Andrew and I can't sing at all. So how does that work? But it does, right? And so there are times in our life where we have to, isn't it good that we can stand for one another here today? We can look out for one another. We can care for one another and pray that our faith won't fail. I'll tell you a few more stories. We had cockroaches and rats like you wouldn't believe in this house. It was unbelievable. There was one, I don't think you guys might have heard this one because you've been a Wellard. There was, when we first moved to Frio, it was a pretty bad rundown house, and we've since built after that a home, which was lovely. But with the kids being young, well, Sarah wasn't around yet, actually, and there was this one rat that I'd hear scratching in the kitchen, and I just couldn't ever. So in the middle of the night, I got a baseball bat, Steve. I had it next to my bed. And for more than just the rats, but anyway, that's another story for another time. And I got up, I got the lights on, I got a torch, and I saw it there and I went to get the baseball bat. It was an old cupboard, so it didn't really matter. And whack, the thing jumps on. They can leap. And it jumps and it runs. It gets itself behind the fridge. You know the grate, the black grate at the back, and it's inside there. And so every time I went to whack it, it's just sitting there grinning at me. You know, I never got that rat. It got the better of me. And so I decided, you know what? I'm getting out of this house. I've had enough of it. And we moved. So, you know, my lawnmower got stolen. At the time, I was doing lawn mowing just as a bit of a supplement. My income got stolen. No people came to church. It wasn't like, well, lad. It was like, I'm serious. No people came to church for a long time when we first started church. About six people. And we didn't have any musicians for many years. Who's glad you've got musicians? It's so good. Some of you may know that Dom Sinek, for 5 years, used to sing to Darlene Check on a CD player. That's how we did church for 5 years. And the church somehow actually grew in its membership to about 70 people before we moved to Fremantle after that. And because we didn't have very many people, I've got to tell you this story, this is a really funny one. Well, I thought it was. We didn't have many people in church. I got desperate one time to develop anyone that had been there for a few weeks. And this guy had been with us for about 4 or 5 weeks, and he was willing to help. And he used to actually be the, he used to take the boats to Rottnest and back as a captain of a ship. And I didn't realise at the time, because you know, someone says they're willing to help. So I says, can you do communion next week? He goes, yeah, no problem, Nigel, real Australian Aussie guy, and I've got it. And so he rocks up to church that next Sunday morning, and I thought I could smell alcohol on his breath. And and it wasn't just a little bit, it was quite strong, and I thought, what do I do? And he was ready, he was prepared, he says, yeah, I've got my message, Nigel, no problem at all. Ocker, Australian guy. And so he starts doing his message. He swears a couple of times in the message. Anyway, he got through the message, and then proceeds to say that after all the mess in his little communion message, wow, and he swore, I can feel the presence of God. You do what you got to do. Back in those days, you know, when Andrea and I finally thought we had church together, is anyone glad we've kind of worked out that God's worked out church? Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a. So I am blessed when I see three people in church, and there's a lot more than that here today. And so it's awesome. So when Andrea and I finally thought we had church services all together, and it was kind of working out, we were at the East Fremantle Football Club. This is quite a few years ago now, and I'm finishing up the service, prayed for a few people, we'd had a good service, and I see my wife with Jared, who was about, I don't know, 4 or 5, in her arms, running outside, and there was blood literally pouring down his head. This is my son. And he had to have stitches all the way down. He's still got a scar there, if you look closely, down his head. I pray your faith will not. I pray your faith, regardless of the mess, regardless. I mean, if we had opportunity to give up, we could have. But I've got to tell you guys, it makes something of you when you hold the course. Can we hold the course, C3 Wellard? Can we be bigger than the messes around us and recognize that through the mess, God is making a better man, a better woman? See, Job knew all about terrible situations. Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, referring to God, yet I will trust in him. We have people that trust in God here at C3 Wellard this morning. When everything is failing, the concrete's cracked, the glass is shattering, money not there, kids in trouble, car accident, health scare, hear bad news about those close to you, marriage not what it used to be, lost your job, life in crisis. Lord, I trust you. Can we say it together? Lord, I trust you. And the scripture that goes with that in Romans 8:28, all things, say it with me, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think it's good to recognize that every single one of us, no matter what faith level we're at, we're all under construction. We never quite make it. Well, you know, we get where Paul says that we to perfection, but I don't actually think we reach it until we get to heaven. So chill, guys. It's going to be okay. Let's just keep God in the picture. I haven't slept properly for weeks. Yep, I know, I've been there. I'm in a state of confusion. Yep, been there. I'm emotionally not what I should be. Yeah, been there. I feel spent. Yeah, I've been there. But I have a feeling, everything's going to be all right. Come on. Everything's going to be all right. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? You see, the Holy Spirit is with us. And he will help us through. And some things in life have the capacity to crush your spirit. I've personally felt this way. I'm sure you've probably asked a similar question. What's the point? And some situations in life are ridiculously tough. And you'll know that Andrew and I and our team, we don't just push off the reality. We know that in reality, we try and be authentic as Christians. And like Peter, it's easier to deny God. It's easier to run away. But is it really? Self-reliance will never build God's character in your life. Jonah didn't like the fact that God wanted him to go to Nineveh and save, 120,000 people. Nah, I don't like those people. I'm going the other way. And it caused a lot of destruction. It caused damage to a whole shipload of people because he was trying to run away from. Well, unnecessarily, he didn't want to do what God wanted for his life. And so, stop running and deal with your mess. Stop trying to do things your way. And Jesus has been praying for Peter that his faith remains. And faith means dealing with what you have in front of you. Faith means the mess that you have created, you are going to take responsibility for. That's amazing, God, that God comes in the middle and there's grace and there's love and God works it out. Allowing God into your life rather than doing nothing through the prayer, the word of God, allowing yourself to be involved in a connect group so that you can, who knows that when you're around other people, you get encouraged. Such a good thing. And God says to us who believe in him, I will give it to you if I can get it through you. If you need mercy, you've got to show mercy. It's the whole deal. It's the whole thing. And so one minute Peter's bragging about how great it was to one of his mates and how God had used him. And the next, he does not want to know Jesus. Do you think you and I could possibly be like that at times? He didn't even want to be identified as one of them. And Jesus said to Peter, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. God knows that you and I are going to mess up. But when you do, get back into his flow in your life. I pray your faith remains. I pray it won't fail. Focus is vital for every one of us. And Peter denied he was friends with Jesus and the disciples. And yet there is this strength that lies when we are together in him. There is a power. It makes such a difference in the world. It's hard not to be in the presence of somebody who is giving something and not reciprocating. You ever been down to a, I have many times, you know, you go to a restaurant and someone says, well, I'm going to pay the bill. And it's kind of like, well, I'm going to pay for that. You, when someone's giving to you, you can't help but give back, right? It's just the kind of thing. And so can we get into God's flow in our life, that even though it's messy, that even though things may be going wrong, that even though you personally may feel terrible about some of the things you've done, that God's there with you? And what did he do for Peter? He says, I pray your faith remains, and when you come back to me, see, God's got a dream for you. God's got a purpose for you. And when you're there again, will you strengthen the brethren? So not only have you messed up, not only are you going to deny me and you think you're not going to, that sounds like us, but then when you do get back on track, will you please strengthen the brethren? Can we be a people that strengthen one another today? Can we be a people that look after one another and have such care for one another? And so Peter lost his flow. Thanks, Musos. You can come back up. That's awesome. We will finish early. Some people are happy about that. I don't know about the music team next door doing the worship. Anyway, I had quite severe varicose veins. You know what varicose veins are? Where they stick out. Only in my right leg from my knee down. And if, like, these are quite tight pants, you would be able to see it. It was actually quite a big... the veins sort of pop out. And the doctor actually said to me, I'll give you the proper term, he said that the veins block, the circulatory system finds alternative ways to distribute the blood. Because when the veins block up, they swell up, they bulge, and there is a constricted flow, and then they kind of just congeal. And so you end up with this big mess. And Peter is, there's a reason for why I'm saying that. Peter's in the courtyard. And he's denying the power he has been given. He's in that courtyard. Aren't you one of the disciples? Didn't I just see you out there in the garden? No, you must be mistaken. That's not me. He made a decision that really didn't turn out well for him. And the rooster crowed. And Peter denied that he was associated with Jesus and the disciples. And we know that Peter recognized his error. We know he made right, because after the resurrection, it was Peter who, after the tongues from heaven, powerful prayer meeting, he was the one who gave an amazing speech about what God was doing. And then the Bible says a vital church grew. Can we stand to our feet? Father, today, why don't we just lift our hands up as though we want to receive something from God today? Father, today, I pray that we would be a people that regardless of our mess, and Lord, we recognize that we're going to mess up, but Lord, I thank you for stories like this in the Bible where, you know what? I know you're going to mess up, but I'm praying your faith will remain. I'm praying today that you will not fail. And when you get strengthened, oh, I'm so grateful for the house of God. Oh, Lord God, I want us to worship today. Can we sing whatever song? I don't want to do that song. I want us to worship, a worship song. And let's just spend a few moments, and then I'll come back. Please lead us, Crystal or Denz, whichever one of you would like to lead. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord God. Come on, let's not lose this moment. Why don't we just lift our hands? Father God. Power of the living God. Lord, I thank you that you're reconciling today. I thank you, Lord, you're bringing healing. I thank you, Lord, that those things... Yes, Father. Come on, let's sing it. You know, if you're you feel like today's a day you want to just draw a line in the sand, I want to move on. I'm moving on. I'm putting the past behind. If that's you, why don't you just come out of your seat and just make that official today? Just do it. You can make some room here. You can move the pulpit. Just, Lord, I thank you today that no matter what, I'm going to do what you require of me. I'm holding on. And some of you may need to physically do that. If that's you, just come out of your seat. No one's going to be looking at you. We're going to be celebrating with you. Father God, Lord, today, I thank you for every person here. And I pray the power and presence of the living God. I pray our faith will not fail us. And I pray, Lord, that our faith will remain regardless of the mess, regardless of what we may think or what we feel, where we feel we've messed up. I thank you, Lord, that you're always for us. And we commit ourselves afresh to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.